Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself, Alex. How you doing?
I'm good. Hello, everybody.
To my right, G-Dub himself, Garrett. How you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin, here for the week of May 9th and 10th to tell you the comics coming out this week, which we'll get to here in a moment. And then we're going to talk about Streets of Gotham 4, and we'll talk about, what was the other book we read? Oh, World Tree, number one. And I did read it. I'm not saying, I just forgot what it was called. And I did read a little bit of Danger Street 2, so I'll let you know what I think about that.
Garbage.
And then we'll pick a new book club book, because we're only doing the first four, right, Alex?
Yeah, I'm just doing the first four, unless you want to read all 30 of them.
I would start doing two a week if we did that,
Before we get there, though, Alex, Free Comic Book Day was this last weekend, and you were telling us what you purchased. What did you get?
I did. So I got my three free books. I got my daughter a Turtles book. They had the Saturday morning cartoons, but they only gave you like 12 pages out of like the 22, so can't even finish it, which is whatever. And then I got the Jeff Lemire option, and then I got the Umbrella Academy free book. And then I actually, so after we had talked about Green Hell on the show, an animal man showed up, or animal girl, animal woman showed up. I was thinking, what the hell was I thinking back in 2012? Why did I not get Animal Man? Why did I not stick with Swamp Thing? And of course, it's because I knew nothing about these characters. But after reading Green Hell, I got this fire lit under my butt. And so at Free Comic Book Day, I took the opportunity from Rainbow Comics to save 50% on probably 90% of Animal Man. I think I was only missing two issues. And then I got probably about 70% of Swamp Thing from New 52. I am missing probably about 10 issues from there. And then I bought Saga of the Swamp Thing, number 5. And then I got three Turtles, what do I want to call them? They're not ongoing
Dolls.
Stuff. What?
I thought you finally got the doll head.
No.
That you've been looking for.
No, I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not buy that Mikey head. I don't want to be quite to that girl's extent of craziness. But there's some three little runs that I had picked up of older books. That is really good. Like I had told the guys, I spent more than I meant to, more than I intended. But
let me guess, I've also 200.
Hey, pretty close, 210.
Well, that's always a successful Free Comic Day if you spend more than you go in.
But Alex, you gotta think about it. You actually spend 420. So,
well, and that's what I told my wife. I said I spent more than I meant to, but I also saved 50% off. So,
whoa, you were honest with your wife about past your budget, man.
Yeah, I didn't go in with a budget. Can't go over if I didn't go with one.
If you don't set one, yeah. If you don't set one in gear, then you can't, you know, it doesn't unbalance when you put it in the sheet.
That's I think part of it, like when I had gone, I went 2 weeks ago to the shop and I was picking up some Turtles books. And then I was looking to see if they had a whole issues collection wrapped up and all that jazz. They didn't. So I went and had to go find all the single issues. It worked out fine. I mean, I got what I wanted for the most part. I have read the first 10 of Animal Man. Fantastic. And I'm actually stuck at number 6 right now because I don't have number 7 of Swamp Thing, but I read 1-6. Really, really, really good. I don't know why I didn't jump on these to begin with. Scott Snyder nails it with Swamp Thing so far. And Jeff Lemire, damn, does that man know how to write a book.
It's good. And actually, to give a little insight, before you send those texts today, I was going to pick Animal Man as the next book.
Damn, because I want to read that. Son of a bitch.
And it's the first 5, which, I mean, we could still do, but you would have read them already.
I'll read them again.
Because I did, for the same thing for you, like reading reading the future version of Animal Man. I think it was his daughter. I think it actually is, like, in continuity, it's his daughter who appears in that book. Same thing, Alex. I went back and perused issue 1. It was just like, God, I remember this was so good. And just thinking back to, like, the Jeff Lemire. It's basically like a Jeff Lemire who wrote it's like Royal City Family dynamic kind of stuff, but also set in a world and kind of almost like The Fly kind of like gross kind of horror. And actually, Alex, and I won't give any spoilers about this, but I will say that that girl's kind of like fleshy horror, kind of like that, where it's all like kind of grotesque. It's not really like gory; it's just grotesque. It's like weird to look at. It looks gross. for some reason, Guardians 3 is like that. And it reminded me a lot of Animal Man. I was just like, damn, like there's so much stuff that goes on.
You are
on like
so
that.
Right. I was literally, when you were describing that, I was like just thinking of that because I was like, man, that is true. That is truer than true.
And so you have, it's like a horror royal city, basically. And a little superhero because obviously he has powers. But Jeff took a little more horror than the superhero route, which I think works. And then Travis Foreman is the artist on that, and I think that his style really fits that kind of gross, grotesque kind of storytelling. So
I think the nice thing is that they, in both books, whether it's Swamp Thing or Animal Man, they reference each other. It's not like they're coherent stories, at least not where I'm at right now, but they do talk about each other. And even in Animal Man, honestly, they're going to find Swamp Thing. If we don't do this book, Garrett, you just should read this on your own anyway. This is,
yeah, I know. I'm gonna probably try and at least get the trade. It's like I could read it digitally, but I'm like, I gotta hold that shit in my hands.
That's what, you know, honestly, and I don't mean to speak out of turn, but you can find it on eBay if you want the actual collection.
Oh, really? Because yeah, I know. I'm looking back because you guys got me Swamp Thing number one for Christmas one year when we first started hanging out. I remember that. Yeah, it was Swamp Thing. And I think I picked up Animal Man issue one as well. So I think I have those both chilling.
I haven't read those somewhere. When did that first card coming out?
2011?
Yeah.
12. September, we met 2011. 2012. Oh, no, you're right. It
was 12 years ago then. It's the last time I read them.
I'm seeing the list of books that like we used to go through every Wednesday after we picked up books and talk about what we thought the book was going to be about. And then I flip the page and I see Suicide Squad with King Shark, Deadshot, and Harley Quinn from New 52. I'm like, damn, you know what? As much shit as we may have given New 52, that for me is the start of reading comic books outside of Amazing Spider-Man. So I'm like super nostalgic right now. Like I almost want to go back and read some more.
It reminds me too.
New 52 is horrible. I just think that it overstayed its welcome at some point.
They certainly didn't. Their rules never made sense either. It was like some people, what they needed to do to make that successful was clear everybody's continuity. But they decided to keep like all of Batman's and then like erase other people's whole continuity. And so it was all kind of messed up. And they had to make it work like within 5 years. So you're like, all this shit happened in 5 years. And so that was the thing, is the parameters they put around it. I think it would have been, it is a smart idea. And I know it sounds contradictory to usually what I usually say, but it is a smart idea just to be like, hey, let's reset our continuity. Even from a standpoint of not getting new readers in, but just a standpoint of being like, hey, let's retell these stories today. Like like what they try to do with the Ultimate imprint over at Marvel. It's like, hey, let's just redo it.
Let's clean this shit up.
So it's a fun thing for some writers, especially if you're a fan of Batman, and they go, hey, we're restarting, you do it.
Well, that's actually something I thought about rereading again for the first time of seeing Greg Capullo Batman art. And to get the Scott Snyder long run of, 12 issues for that first arc, I remember rereading that book, at least issue 20, and man, that book is good. And man, that art is fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. New 52 started out super strong, and like a lot of titles, like I would say Batman was one of the most successful, and they had some others.
No offense.
What?
I said one of the worst was still that Superman number one for me.
Yeah. It got better.
But the crappy thing is that's the thing is I know it got better. And Superman is a good character. I don't know what happened with that first issue.
I'm going to say this, and it's going to make you guys drop your shorts. The Flash by Brian Bucciolato and Francis Manapul.
Yeah.
Fuck. The best. Since I've been reading comics since I was in sixth grade, best run of The Flash.
Oh, from New 52?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're making me nostalgic.
Did you read it right before that, though, when it was them and Geoff Johns?
No, I didn't read that, so I've heard that's great. No, I have read. I read the first volume of that.
Okay. That's good, too.
Series of it.
So that's one of the ones where I was getting Flash because Marvin and you were getting it, and I was like, I don't know if Flash is my kind. So down in college, I'd actually go down to our center and bring my books with me, go read them. And I read Flash 1 through 10 again at the college. Holy shit, was it fantastic. And that Manipul art, I mean, I have that bust in my room.
Me too.
That's still one of the best busts I have. I wish that they'd make the rest of the JL for that.
That would be great.
And remember also that at a time, like, there were some of those books that they released that I'm glad that they kind of went and chose titles that weren't exactly, you know, Batman, Superman, like I, Vampire. Remember that coming out?
Oh, I, Vampire was awesome.
Dial H for Hero. I, Vampire is probably the first time I think Andrea Sorrentino I saw. And Joshua Falcove or something like that. It's been, once again, 12 years. But I remember at the time thinking the same thing, Garrett, being like, this is way different. I didn't stay long on I, Vampire. I know, I believe you did, Garrett, to the end.
I think it was 19 issues. Didn't make 20.
But I would, like, stuff like that. That, like, that's the thing too, is like, and we've talked about this over and over again, but still, like, how do you get somebody new into comics? And even though that may seem like a smart thing to do to get new people in, I think just having, like, the joy to me of seeing somebody like reset something is like, okay, let's see what they do with this now, right? Let's see how they divert expectations, how they take this character and modernize it. And while a new reader, that's easy for them because it's restarting, you don't have to start over. We've said a million times, you can jump in anytime. They usually do a pretty good job of like catching you up. And most of the time you're going to be like, I know Batman. Oh, I don't know who, you know, the fucking, Creeper is. Well, that's okay. Cause you know, Batman, and I'm pretty sure they'll talk about who Creeper is and you don't have to worry about it. So
I might have to get that Dial H just cause that was is Mateus Santoluco.
Yeah.
He was on that. And I love his turtle art.
I remember I was getting that book, but it once again, just like I, Vampire, and didn't last long. So, which is fine. Some of those books lasted in New 52 for a while. So, like, even that Red Hood and the Outlaws lasted a long, long time. Probably way longer than anybody thought.
And there were some pearls with the Rebirth after that. Like, I'm thinking of Green Lantern with Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was good.
Oh, that was fun.
Superman was good for a long time.
Superman. Oh, Tomasi and Gleason. Superman. Green Lanterns. The Green Lantern book was okay. I thought Green Lanterns was, yeah.
Who wrote Action at that time?
Read old shit.
Who wrote Action at that time? With Rebirth.
Grant Morrison. He started.
Not in Rebirth. No, that
was 52.
Oh, I'm thinking 52.
Gleason and Tomasi, I think we're doing both. I think they were both, okay. Action and Superman.
That's what I thought, but yeah.
No, I didn't think so. I thought there was someone else writing it. Is that where Tomasi being? Wasn't it Tinian?
No.
No, he was doing Detective.
Let's check it. Action Comics Rebirth. I'm pretty sure it was both of them.
I thought it was someone else that was on.
Oh, Dan Jurgens.
That's right.
Yeah. But eventually it went over and it was Gleason and Tomasi for both.
Agreed, yeah.
So at the end, they were doing all the titles.
I'm looking
at these covers. Fuck, Lex Luthor being a Superman. Oh, God, so good.
That's the thing, too, is like, I was looking back at Mark Waid's Flash from the 90s and looking through there because sometimes my son will be like, hey, let's read he likes the Flash the most, probably. My youngest son.
Oh, really?
And so he's like, can we read the Flash? And I'll go and try to just find a random story. And the Mark Waid stuff, it's like, even that stuff is like, I think that here's the thing with DC. There's certainly been a sea of crap over at DC, but I think DC's highs, comic book wise, not outside of that medium, but their highs are higher than Marvel's highs. But they have such waves that it's hard to stick with something for a long time. Because like they'll have the New 52, then like you said, Garrett, Overstood is welcome. Rebirth, and then they were like, hey, it's getting kind of fucked up. And they were like, let's just, you know, complete this and go to the next thing. And I think whenever they have those spikes, they have good content for a while, but then at least old management, I don't know about new management, but old management used to get restless and be like, let's do something.
Right.
Hey, who wrote Nightwing to begin with? Was it Higgins?
Yep.
Okay.
52. That was a good
one. Yeah, New 52. And then I don't think, then it went to Grayson with Seeley and King.
Oh, yeah.
And spinned off into Seeley only, I believe. No.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Seeley only for a while.
That's a great book, Grayson.
Grayson is.
I remember the first, 15 issues were fantastic.
Yeah, until then, Lansing and Kelly jumped on and said,
when you get to those last, four.
Let me retalk. Tom King and Team Seeley's Grayson is great.
Right. Agreed.
The after effects of them leaving was not great.
But the weird thing is that a lot of the books that I have gone back to get are books that you guys had gotten to begin with. And it takes me 3 years to finally go, yep, I'm going to spend the money. And then I bite myself, had to bite myself in the ass going, why didn't I buy this when you guys got it the first time?
That's the thing I'm thinking about. Like I said, these highs that DC has is they're almost like events in the comic book community also, because it's Rebirth 52, everybody's talking about it. So they're good about but 52, obviously for us, bringing people together to speculate what's going to happen. Rebirth the same. And then when they did the button, and then did what was that ending one called? Doomsday Clock.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of things like that where I see a lot of chatter about it. I really don't see that from Marvel events once again, but I think they have more consistently good stuff. But it's almost a little bit above average for me.
I feel like Marvel's problem though is that they put out too many events at one time.
They certainly do now.
One event. When you did Avengers versus X-Men, that was fantastic. But then they rehashed things again and again. Civil War II, what was it? Inhumans, X-Men versus Avengers. Come on.
Here's going to be my analogy for this. DC is like Taco Bell. Sometimes you go and you're like, holy shit, they just made this. And it's really good. And sometimes you go and you're like, holy shit, this is sticking together, falling apart. How long has this been sitting there? So it's high highs and shit lows. Marvel's kind of for me anyways, Burger King, I feel like it's just always the same. I never feel like, wow, this got better or this got worse. It's always just consistent
for me. Mm. Only thing that changes is they charge $5 for a book instead of $4, so.
I don't know. I would almost disagree, because there are times where I've read really good Black Widow, such as the Mark Waid, Chris Damney run, or I've read the really shit run, and what was that one that we read?
I guess I mean average line-wise. DC does all that stuff where they redo it. So, I feel when DC is good, most of their shit's good. Marvel, it's hey, this book's good at Marvel, this book's good at Marvel, and so, it's always kind of, just above average.
Picky on what is actually good, I gotcha.
Yeah. And I think that might also come from, obviously before, from Danny Dio being in charge and whatever he wanted to do. But I think just the nature of DC always having crisis kind of events is they're always kind of like that. And so it lends itself to being okay, this, you guys can do something weird right now because we're in this weird thing where, we're in the future, or this is not their universe, stuff like that. So
the best thing that DC has done in the last 4 years has been making Black Label. So you can do Elseworld stuff. And most of those stories I have read are phenomenal in one way or the other, where I don't know if Marvel does that kind of stuff right now, any Elseworld type book.
I'll say this.
They haven't done a Max book in a million effing years.
Well, yeah. I think the last one was that Punisher one. Or maybe actually that Nick Fury.
I need to read Fury Max.
Fury
That's
Max,
one that I know you were reading that one, Marvel, when it came out, and you were telling me it's fantastic.
It's great. But what were you just saying?
About what?
DC, before you brought up Max. Oh, Black Label. Here's the thing about that that I think was always been smart about what DC did with Black Label is that also they had Vertigo. And for Vertigo for a while was where you could get those stories you couldn't get anywhere else that weren't tied to any kind of existing IP or continuity. So you would get stuff Wyatt Last Man, Ex Machina, things like that. And then obviously Image happened. Or Image was around, and they were big in the 90s. They took a dip, and then they came back. when Walking Dead hit big, and then they started, you know, finding a niche in comics of being like creator owned kind of stuff, and Vertigo Books just didn't make sense money wise anymore because they wouldn't sell, and those people, and a lot of those, that talent was going on to Image to do it at Image because the deal was better. So then they shifted to Black Label. They basically got rid of Vertigo and made it turn into Black Label. And I do think it's very smart, because as you guys stated, like, it's been there. That one has consistently been great, and they have creators who work on books over there that would normally work on their own stuff, or also are like very high profile. And the idea, as you stated, Alex, like, that's where you can get crazy and do whatever you want. So you have like this subsection of DC Comics that is like, here's what DC could be if we could just get rid of all continuity and all these kind of rules that you have set in place. Like, this could be DC Comics Black Label, where it's just six issues of story, and then guess what? That's that continuity. Then somebody else comes in and they do their own continuity. That's basically what happened with DC Black Label. And I think that's a great choice, because like, that's what people have been asking for a while. And then you have people who are stuck to continuity, which I guess on this podcast, we probably could go back and forth on what we agree with that. But it's nice to have both. So,
you know, the one thing that Black Label has done that no other IP could ever do, we have now seen Bruce Wayne's dick, except for Marvin.
Yeah.
No, I saw it. It just went away.
Did you see it? Okay. 30 inches of battle.
You know what? When I would play Arkham Asylum, and you would look, and somehow the screen always seems to zoom in on his crotch, I'm like, dude, what are you packing in there? Of course. 30-inch bazooka.
You know, that's guy nice. Gets a tickle on his knee. You got to put it to the side.
See, that's the thing, Alex. I got it the first day, so when I first read it, I saw it. And then when we came to do the show, I was going to reference it, and it was gone.
That's what they fixed it, because they couldn't let Dick be on the grace thing.
Now, here's the thing, like, for me, then.
Whoa, X-17.
Because I only saw it once and couldn't, like, you know, pull it out at night and look at it all the time like you guys. I thought
put that in the perspective case.
I thought at the time that
is that latex,
that it wasn't that big, right? You guys are saying that he's got a bazooka in there, but I remember seeing it being like that. It was not flattering,
dude. An anaconda is less scary. It's not always about length.
That means
man.
A lot to me, baby.
It's not always about length, you know.
Like a goddamn tuna can in there.
he'd make Sir Mix-a-Lot blush a little bit, so that's good.
Anyways, we better just keep going here. So what do we got? Forecast? What we got?
Stop talking about Dick.
Yeah, let's get away from the battle.
Here we go. Yeah, the comics coming out this week: Junkyard Joe #6. Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, Brad Anderson, the miniseries finale. Corey, what do you think?
Think of what?
Hold on a second here. Junkyard Dog, what do you guys think?
Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Joe #6.
G.I. Joe, what do we think?
It's a great
book. Pork chop sandwiches.
It's a great book.
Get the fuck out of here.
It took a break for a bit there, but it's been a great series, and I'm excited because this might be the end of the first volume of Junkyard Joe. I mean, end of the series, but he's going to come back in something. So
yeah,
it's in that same, can't remember, it's like Mad Dog Universe or whatever it's
Jeff Johns
called,
Universe,
but
yeah.
Yeah, the Jeff Johns universe, but I'm going to be sad to see it go because Gary Frank's art is incredible, and Jeff's story about this old-time robotic soldier.
There we go. There's that book. Corey, we took too long at the beginning with a different kind of story, so we're about to go along for the forecast here. So, okay. Phantom Road #3, Jeff Lemire, Walta, Jordy Belair, FBI agent Teresa Weaver arrives at the scene of Birdie's car crash to assist the local officers. Although the feds know more about Phantom Road than they're willing to let on, Agent Weaver will need to crack the case quickly before more mutilated bodies appear. Alex?
So I read #2 tonight just to be kind of well prepared for it. It's interesting. I don't know if I'd say it's good quite yet. It's setting the way. It's setting the road. We're getting on it. I'm getting more interested in it. I do think our main character needs to shut up a little more. for a trucker, he sure does talk a lot. But otherwise, it's really good. The art is good. The art is fantastic, actually. I haven't seen Walter do art since, I think, Doctor Strange a couple years ago, so it's been nice to get back into that that realm. And it's Jeff Lemire. I mean, Jeff writes a book. I'm going to pick it up. So
it's definitely been a slow burn, though. I agree with you. I'm like, all right, we're 3 issues in. If this is a 6-issue...
Well, that's the thing, is I want to know how long the book is going to be. If it's only 6 issues, then great. But if it's a 12-er,
needs a little more excitement going. I think with 6, I'm like, man, this is slow-paced for a short amount of space here.
Yeah.
So, Corey, speaking about agents, as they mentioned, Agent Weaver in that comic, but Agent Nick Fury, this secret invasion that's coming out here very soon. What's your anticipation for this? You think it's going to be good?
I'm actually excited for Secret Invasion because, you know what, every material I've seen, it's like, you know, the trailer and everything, it's of a, like a theatrical quality that I thought these shows should have had from the start, like all the Marvel shows. So it really gives me that epic feel of what I was expecting all the Marvel shows to be in the first place. So I'm intrigued and I look forward to watching it. So it'll be different in a fun way.
I'm intrigued about Saga number 64, Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples, who will stop the rain. That's all it says. And we'll give a little, behind the scenes.
Inside baseball.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Thank you there, Petrello. Inside baseball, I'll take a little inside baseball. I actually read half of this before we started this podcast. And it's been pretty good. So, Saga has been great from the beginning, as we always state, like every issue that comes out, like how is it this consistently good, and that's how good these two creators are. And Corey, you never got into this Saga, did you?
No, I've never read any Saga.
But you do like a saga called Indiana Jones, and the fourth one's coming out here in a second, Dial of Destiny.
The fifth one.
Sorry, I forgot about that other one. not intentionally, but I did. And I just wanted to let you know and wanted to get your take on this. I know he said he's not going to come back for it. Let's just say somehow he was in a tank for 2 weeks and they got a body scan and everything. And so he's going to come back full CGI for the next Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford. I have 2 Indiana Jones books in front of me. You tell me which one, based on title alone, that you want to see as the next Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones and the Interior World. Let that sink in. And then Indiana Jones and the Unicorn's Legacy.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man. Those are both stinker titles. But I guess out of the two, I would go one.
You want the Interior World. Okay, there you go.
I mean, yeah, better than... Can you imagine Harrison Ford? Oh, what's the title again? The Unicorn's what?
Legacy. Unicorn's Legacy.
This reminds me, like, the back of that crystal skull.
It says in the back synopsis, and I don't know if this is actually what happens in the book, but this is the way they're trying to sell it to me. Indiana Jones tries to find the fabled creature.
God, I hope it's like a fucking ram.
The Unicorn's Legacy is the friends you meet along the way. Yeah, definitely.
I don't even know how that would be interesting. He'd end up just going out to the field or into a forest. He'd find it. Oh, I guess I'm done. Right.
The Interior World is about when he was younger, he accidentally did something that caused an imbalance between two tribes who have never interacted with modern society. And so he tries to go back and stop things before they get worse. So
that sounds better to me.
So who knows? You know, you go and you find the Ark. You go and you find the Holy Grail. Thank you. And you go to the Temple of Doom and find what the hell's that thing called?
The Heart Ripper guy?
Yeah. Whatever that is. And then and the fourth one, obviously, Aliens. And then you're finally just going, I'm going to find a unicorn. So I think that should be number 6.
See, Harrison Ford's going to walk into the first scene of the Unicorn's Legacy. He's going to grab his stomach, and it's like he's tired. Then he just pulls out that revolver, shoots that unicorn right in the head.
What's the name of this one? Dial of Destiny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, to be fair, that title's not any better.
Yeah, that title's ass. So I'm like, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Because even the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, at least that's kind of interesting as a title.
Here's my take. I like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and I don't see why everybody hates it.
He survived a nuke in a refrigerator.
It's literally just because of that opening scene that people hate it. I will agree.
But the warehouse scene is awesome. But the nuclear whatever, doesn't really bother me. I mean, sure, if you want to throw logic into it, but we also have seen
Corey?
Mysterious things disintegrate people.
I haven't seen that movie since opening night, but I have a good feeling that I think I would agree with you. But I'm not. I can't put my stake on it.
No. I've seen movies with you guys plenty of times, and I realize I am the stick in the mud most of the time. But most of the time, when I'm a stick in the mud for a shit movie, I am correct. But sometimes you guys might be able to talk me out of it, like, hey, you know what? It was fun for fun's sake. He survived a nuke in a refrigerator, and then he realizes there's aliens. No. Bull fucking shit.
Okay, I thought you were going to mention the nuke again.
With this statement that Alex is making, I think it's a shorter list of movies that Alex does not think are bullshit.
We all know there's only like three movies that I don't think are bullshit. Even Die Hard, which I love, is bullshit. Lethal Weapon is bullshit.
Wow, see, then my comment stands. I love Lethal Weapon and Die Hard.
I love those movies. I'm just saying, if I'm going to be a stick in the mud, I gotta hate those too. Captain America: Winter Soldier is the only perfect movie out there.
Lethal Weapon. Just mad that Batman had an acid capsule in his tooth to break him out of some chains.
Hey, that's bullshit.
You're telling me that guy had a tooth removed and put a capsule up there just in case he ever got caught?
I'm just telling you, it's bullshit.
Oh, I got something stuck in my tooth. Oh, it bites down dead.
Maybe that's another concern. What if he bites wrong? It breaks. He bleeds his mouth out. He's dead.
He's fucking Batman.
He's eating some corn on the cob. Some really rough corn on the cob. And just disintegrates into acid.
I barely eat. You think he's going to eat corn on the cob? Yeah, Alfred's over there being like, hey, I shucked you some corn. Don't forget to take out your cyanide tooth.
Oh, man.
It does say in the back of the synopsis that the bad guys want it because they want to grind down the unicorn's horn because they think it might have some sort of powers. But
I bet they drink that and it melts their face right off.
But they wouldn't want to ride a fucking unicorn into the sky.
It literally says they want the horn only. So it's kind of like a poacher's tail, in a way. So,
well, maybe Kraven can go hunt it for him.
Not Kraven's son.
Well, it's faster than Kraven.
Yeah, Kraven's son, though.
Speaking of which, before actually we let you go here, Corey, since we are running long, I do want to ask and see, based on, and we'll talk Guardians maybe. Alex is going to try to see it this weekend, and we can talk about it next week in detail. But I just wanted to ask, based on your viewing, if you're excited for the Marvels.
You know, like I said, I'm open to it. I think the concept is fun, and I really think Miss Marvel, like Kamala Khan, that actress, she's great. The other two, take it or leave it, but her, just because she's in it, I really liked Miss Marvel, and I hope there's just her dad's in it as much as possible. And yeah, I don't know. It's like a Freaky Friday concept, so it could be fun if it's handled right.
I'll agree. I think the best scene in that trailer is the Kamala Khan stuff. So,
right. Agreed. That's what I think too. Like, the other two, I'm like, but it's not formulaic, except if you're following the Freaky Friday formula. And yeah, all the supporting actors in it is pretty impressive, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Corey, like I said, we apologize. We spoke too long about Swamp Things and Animal Mans. Can you let the people know your sign-off?
So what did I say last week? I ended up with something different. What were we talking about that had me laughing hysterically?
I had no clue.
No idea.
It wasn't Space Fucking Sucks, because that was like 3 weeks ago.
Corey, you think we remember these? Once I hit stop, it's out of my mind. I don't keep track of this.
Okay.
We were probably laughing about your IQ or something like that.
Again, Patreon, platinum Patreon members, for $13 you get 1 minute of my time. For I can't remember for gear.
Wow, jeez, like bro!
For like
do
for
Sudoku
the
or something. You're
for the bronze,
it.
No, for the bronze tier, we're gonna actually give an incentive to our Patreon members, and so for the bronze tier, you only have to pay 13 cents for an hour of Garrett time. This is just how valuable it is. So, again, you can submit those requests to garrett.walls@isuck.com.
Yeah, but then I get one favor redeemable by me at any point in time that I need.
Again, that's 13 cents for 1 hour of Garrett's time. This is hashtag guest host one signing off. Stay classy, San Francisco.
There we go. Guest host one. Hashtag. Make sure to put the hashtag in there. Brought to you by Rainbow Comics and Cards.com. This is Rainbow Comics and Cards.com. As Alex stated earlier in the show, they had a free comic day this last weekend with a sale. So go to Rainbow Comics and Cards.com. Find them on Facebook at Rainbow Comics and Cards. And keep up to date on when they have the next sale. Who knows? It always happens. So, I mentioned earlier that we finished the Streets of Gotham number 4, Paul Dini. Oh, sorry. We have a book club?
Chase, Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Gates of Gotham.
Streets of Gotham.
What did I say? Gates of Gotham? Streets of Gotham. Aren't we just saying this? Don't fucking lost
None
it.
None of you remember anything.
Batman, Streets of Gotham, Paul Dini, Dustin Nguyen. Good book. Good book. Gosh. I don't remember what happened in this book. I remember liking it and I was going to text you guys, but I read it yesterday and now I can't remember what I read.
So
I thought this was one of the most street level of the books, but a really bad way to end it.
I agree with that, Garrett. And when I'm going to go back to my theory last week that this book is like supposed to be a book where side stuff happens and like we're missing the main point of this book, because it really does seem like it started with the broker. Alex story.
That's right.
And it goes into, you know, Zaz wanting a place and as Garrett stated, it really doesn't conclude anything. It kind of just adds more. And for a while when I was reading it, I was going to come in here again and go, once again, we started a new character telling a new story. And they act like all the shit in the last three issues hasn't happened. But I'm assuming that, I think I remember this correctly, that this stuff was happening in Detective and Batman at the time. And this stuff is more like, oh, how did Zaz get it? How did he get that hideout? And then we see it. The issue, if you just look at it contained with what it is and not see this as like the ending of that trade, which is hard to do because it was the ending of the fucking arc, but I think Paul Dini's writing's spot on in all these issues, and I think Dustin Nguyen does a great job. So like it's like a, I don't know how to explain it, it's just good, but also it's kind of like without reading the other stuff it almost seems pointless in a way.
It's hard to follow. Art, great. But, I mean, if you're coming to this book because you want more, like, Dick Grayson and Damian, you didn't get it in the last couple issues.
All you saw was Damian sitting there after he beat the shit out of that henchman with a bat.
Right. I think it's just too many perspectives. Like, you start out with Jim Gordon in the first issue. Then you do some villains' perspectives. Then you do, like, a third party getting a villain what he wants. And then you have a story about how Dick and Damian being like, this Hush is being Bruce Wayne. You know, like, it's like, it's just a little bit all over the place. So it looks good. I mean, without reading the whole thing, I'm just like, it wasn't bad, but it was interesting. I just think there needs to be more context, I feel.
The one thing I took away from this book that I actually enjoyed is that I've never seen the Great White Shark as a character in a comic. I know about him from Arkham Asylum, but I've never actually seen him be used in the book. And I mean, he's not used for very long. They're beating the shit out of the guy whose yacht they want to take. And then the henchman from the broker starts taking out his henchmen, taking out Great White's henchmen. Mm-hmm. And has to remind him of the deal they brokered, and thought, oh, okay. So it was weird. Yeah, like you said, this is if you're reading Detective and Batman, you're getting the full story, getting this background information. But yeah, if you want to read Batman, you're not getting them from this book.
I thought the second issue was the best one. Mostly because we got a lot of Dick and Grayson and Damian. So, and I feel like it was the most consistently throughout the whole issue story that like you could read as a one-off and be like, I got everything in this issue. And that's when people started. Go ahead.
What I wanted from this book, and I thought I was going to get it, was like that first arc was going to be the Firefly arc, and that the fire was going to continue to build, and that's how long it took us to wrap it up. I had no idea this book was really going to be like an anthology of what is going on from the other two that you might have missed, and you get to fill in those little dots. Like you said, we've never seen that girl from the issue one or issue two.
Gone for
the bad guys get taken out super fast. Either we run you over with our car as we bash through the wall, or we shoot your fire expulsion from the back, and then you're like, oh, we're going to crash into a building. It was fun. Like, I'm interested to keep reading, but now I feel like I need to spend more money to read the other Reborn stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, it was a good run, but I think we're ready for what's next. I think we're all in agreement there. So, Marvin, you got a pick? You got a pick? Are you ready for me to announce it?
You announce it?
I'm going to do what I normally do, and then you announce the title.
Okay, yeah,
sorry,
you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, next comic book. Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents.
And I know that, Alex, I think we're going to just do the Animal Man.
Hell yeah.
Fine. I know you said you'll reread it, but I think us starting to dip into that discussion earlier makes me want to explore it more in detail. So I think this will do. The first trade is the first five issues.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that first arc. And
fun.
I did check on Hoopla, and it's on there. So,
yay. That's awesome. No, that's a great pick. Gets me excited.
I'm going to read. Oh, man, I'm excited to reread it again, though. It's going to be good. And to actually talk to you guys about it while it's current and while it's new. Yes.
Hell yeah.
There we go. We also checked out, speaking of gruesome, and World Tree Number 1 by James Tynion IV, art by, who was it, Blanco?
Yes.
Yep. And Jordy Blair, I believe, on colors. This first issue, World Tree, the E in Tree, Soul of Threes, is kind of set in this future. Actually, so here's the thing. When it first started, I thought it was set in like this way, way future, but then it turns out it's maybe not way, way future. I don't know. It kind of jumps around a lot. It doesn't really tell you when it's jumping. You have to just notice the style changes when it jumps. So we have three stories going on here. We have one where there's this undernet and some naked lady for some reason. I mean, I'm not saying don't do this. I'm just saying don't know why. But she like pushes a button and like somehow infects this kid to go and kill 60 people, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And film the whole thing. And so that story is about him and his brother and how they're going to deal with that. We have another story where it's this group of people as kids, 15, 20, I think maybe, where they encounter this the first time and how they got rid of it the first time. And then you have now present day them reacting to that news, saying basically we got to get the gang back together to take out this menace before it gets any further. And I will say, beyond the, for me, I don't know, it took me a little bit to get that there are different time periods and that's why there are different styles. Because I was like, what the fuck did he change his style so much from this one to this one? And I went back and looked at it to get that all straight. Once I got that, I was into it. Before that, I was kind of like struggling a little bit with it. I do like that Tynion lets the artist tell the story, but also I think his dialogue pieces are very concise, and I think it makes it a fun, fast first issue.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's like, I hate reading descriptions like this, so I feel bad even saying this, but I feel like it's It meets Terminator. Like, you have a group of individuals that thwarted a rise of a Sentinian AI, and then it's come back, But also, like, the Terminator parts, like, Booby Lady, you do see some boobs. She not only controls people to kill, but she is a ruthless killer as well.
She shows you a picture of the internet. So there's the internet and there's the internet. And the internet's where the bad shit happens. But if they show you the internet, it's the first time seeing it, you kind of glitch out, which I think was fucking, that's freaky as hell.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I'm like, damn, like James Tynion is just like on it with the horror. Like he has just been horror master lately.
It really is like It and Terminator. And then also the kid portion of it is almost, oh no, you did say It. I thought you said The Thing. Nope. Yeah, like It. Yeah, because those kids, and you had the account of that before. So, yeah, this is exactly what I thought too when I was reading it. I was like, and I like somebody who, because at the end of this book, there was an ad for another anthology, horror anthology that he was a part of. And I like people, no matter what genre, that like are really into that genre. So they do callbacks like that, where you see some tropes and then they're obviously going to, you know, divert your expectations or play with the genre a little bit. And that's what this feels like to me. So it feels like, it almost feels to me like kind of like, it's not this comedic, but it almost feels like Scream, where it's a horror movie and it's a horror comic, but it knows it's a horror comic. And so it's going to kind of play around. And I think that makes it more fun to read, especially when the content and the pictures you're looking at may not be the best thing to be looking at. I mean, besides the lady, but.
Right. I mean, graphic.
I mean, yeah, the stabbing.
Wow.
Well, that's even the guy who's doing the stabbing tells you, yeah, if you do the internet, they glitch out and it makes killing him way easier. So he's already, by the time we see him, he's already killed like 40 people.
Yeah.
And he goes, and the crappy thing, he goes, there's kids and other stuff I'm going to go take out. So this might get a little more gruesome even. And they obviously cut away from that. We go to that brother who's in the car, going to meet, introduce his girlfriend to the brother. And the girlfriend then starts looking into him. Well, then we find out that the brother had actually killed all these people and has been arrested.
Put it on his Instagram. And his stories.
That's fucked.
The thing too, Alex, is that when she goes and like goes into the police station, kills all the police, and then go and kills him to like, I don't know, make a clean batch and then get somebody else. Now he shows other people infected. Like that scene, first off, I thought, like I said, it can have this kind of moment because it's like examining the genre that it's in. And so it kind of has this kind of action horror element, similar to what you said, Garrett, like Terminator, like that whole scene in Terminator, where it's scary how powerful this person is. But she also lets the older brother live. And then he throws up after seeing what he's just seen his brother's brains get blown out. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed this. When she shot him, first off, we had two headshots. One in Streets of Gotham and then one here. And both headshots, the panel turned red and then their silhouettes were black. And I thought that was a very cool thing because it's one of those motifs you see in comics that's like, this is how they do this to show like that somebody's dying but you don't look at it. To make it, you know, like a gruesome moment, almost censored in a way. And I thought that's a cool comic thing. I was just commenting on.
What's fun is that the past 2 weeks we've had two coincidentals between the books we're reading.
Last I know.
Week was the paper being in it, both issues, and this one being the headshots blacked out.
So. I know when I saw the two, I was like, God damn, another one.
And we'll see. We're going to get a trifecta next week.
We'll see. But I think this book was a nice start. I thought it was drawn well. And it's very interesting to me because I have no clue. Like I have obviously ideas of what's going to happen. Not ideas, but like if I were to try to guess, but also it's also like, I have no clue. It could go anywhere from this point on. So
I think this is one of those books that I thought it had my expectations for it way different than I anticipated it being. And so it actually makes it where I don't even want to imagine what the next issue is going to be because this book particularly, and even kind of Something Killing the Children, he knows how to write these books well enough to make you think you know what's going to happen and then he twists the knife on you enough to make you go, oh, that's a shit thing to do, but I enjoyed it. So I think this, I was impressed. This was very, very good.
I was impressed too, because like what I see on the cover and what actually happens in the book, two completely different things in my head. So I was expecting, like, I knew it was going to involve tech and like maybe like a black web kind of thing, but I did not expect this. So this was pretty crazy. So definitely interested in issue two.
I actually thought World Tree would have been more of a fantasy based tech thing. Mm-hmm. And then to find out that's not. So
I agree with you too, Garrett. Like, whenever something is tech based, especially if they're like all the horrors of the internet or they're going to be hackers in the book, I also feel the same way too. It's just like, okay, this could be really bad. Because I think a lot of people, or at least a lot of writers, because technology changes so much, like, though they always just write it like the hacker from the 80s still. They're all writing the 80s hacker still. And so, yeah, when you see that cover, you're almost like, oh, shit, what's this going to be? But I totally didn't expect what this book was going to be about. And actually, before, we probably talked about it when it was on the forecast. But this morning when you guys said, let's read that, or yesterday when you said, let's read that, I was like, at first I thought it was that Zodiac book. So when I started reading this, I had no fucking clue what it was about. I saw the cover. I saw James Tynion. I was like, oh, yeah, it's James Tynion's new book. So,
yeah, and it was your pick on the forecast a couple weeks back.
You know what? See, I told you. That's exactly what I just told your brother. Hashtag guess this one. When this shit ends, it's out. I delete it right away from my brain.
Hey, so, did either of you guys get that Star Signs book that I talked about?
The Zodiac one?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? I was trying to figure out what it was called.
I thought it was Star Signs or Star Signal.
Nope.
I want to check that out because I remember last week me talking about how's the fish going to win. And actually, 2 days ago in my head, I was like, how's that fish going to win? So then I was going to go buy it.
I meant to buy it when I was at Rainbow past week, and I forgot to when I was getting all my Animal Man. So I'll have to go back next time I got turtles coming up to pick it up.
There we go. You know what, guys? That was it, right? Those two books.
That's it. Oh, okay. That's everything.
You know what? We actually probably could have kept it rolling on for a little bit more because it's not the longest. It's not the shortest show we've ever done, but actually it's on the shorter side. So I guess we could have talked to him a little bit more. But, you know, he's out there in Minnesota and hell knows where else. I hear he's probably moving to, like, Alaska or something like that. Who knows? That might just be a fable I heard in his old haunting grounds. But these comic books, Alex and Garrett, let me bring this up to wrap things up. And go to WednesdayComics.com if you want to subscribe to the show. But the final thing I'm going to talk about here, and I was thinking about it this weekend, was staring at my boxes of comics. And I was like, I think it's time to get rid of these bad boys.
Oh, no way. Alex and I have first dibs. Let us know. I know.
That's
going to make you a deal.
That's what made me think of that, to tell you guys right now that I was thinking about that, because Alex obviously is looking for Animal Man and Swamp Thing. And I was like, I got that whole fucking thing. So now I don't know the quality, Alex. But I don't know where they are. But I know I got them.
What's the odds of you organizing your comics before you getting rid of these?
Obviously, I would have to do some sort of organization. And then I would put, you know, the shit ones, you know, Superman number one, Green Arrow number one for New 52. I would throw that shit in a 10-cent bin. It's not even 10 cents. I'd be like, 10 cents. Or if you think twice about it, just take it.
If we really want it, I guess you can have it.
If you really look for 10 cents, just take it. 10 cents or donation, I want to say, for those ones. That's obviously, Garrett, like I said, once you get a chance to see the catalog, and Alex gets a chance to see the catalog, this is the shit that you guys don't want, that I know nobody wants. So it's got to get out of here.
Oh. You, like, my heart just jumped to the, oh, Marvin, you got books I would like to read.
There we go. I'm not much of a collector these days, but there was a time, Alex, when it was just me, all alone getting comic books, you know, before my pal Alex would, before I started giving him some comics, and before we met the twins, I used to collect, and I used to be a real collector. So there's
because you didn't have enough. You didn't have another choice. They didn't make digital comics.
I'm just saying, I got some stuff. All right. WednesdayComics.com. Go to RainbowComicsAndCars.com and RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. Speaking of Swamp Thing, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. There you go. Mr. Scott Snyder doing that run with Raphael. Is Albuquerque on that? I know later we get Jesus Moreno on that book. I forget who the first five were by.
Can't remember.
What book? Sorry, I was listening to a book.
Swamp Thing.
Of which one?
Me too.
Scott's number one.
It's Snyder, yeah.
And it's, oh, Yannick Paquette.
Yeah, Paquette.
Oh, jeez.
There we go.
Where's that guy been?
I was going to, who, me?
No, Yannick Paquette.
I thought you meant a guy that remembers things, me. I was like, oh, where's that guy been who's had a memory? I haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, I don't know. You know, some of those people, and this, I got to look this up, but I saw Raphael Albuquerque. His name's in the Guardian credits as one of the artists. And so I think some of these guys moved on and do movie stuff now. Because I do know, like, Gabriel Hardman, who was an artist for a while, now does storyboarding. I think he does the storyboarding for, he did it from the start for like the Star Wars movies, and he does it for Mandalorian now, I think. So
yeah. Yeah, he had a book way back when, that Invisible Republic. That was good, but they never finished it. Or if they did, I didn't get it all.
And he did those Star Wars Dark Horse, like the last run before they got moved over to Marvel. So.
Oh, the Star Wars?
No, it was one about... It was set in the future, way past the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, another day, another dollar. Go to WednesdayComics.com, click on the button there and get a nice tee. Alex, I saw you on Comic Look this week, and they asked you, you know, you said you prefer the Miami Vice logo.
Yeah.
Of ours, and I can't disagree. I do like that classic DC one, speaking of DC, that we have, but there's something about that Miami Vice because it looks like a good design too. So put that shit on. We're going to start selling our own lemonade, guys. I didn't tell you.
The lemonade?
And it's going to be that in the cover. And it's almost going to look like Arizona teas, except we're doing lemonade.
Is it going to be Granny's old sweet tea or whatever?
No, we're only going to have three flavors because there's three of us. No, four flavors because we're going to add your brother. But that one's going to be limited time. I mean, it comes and goes. That one's a seasonal thing. Only out in the summer. Your brother's going to have the blood orange lemonade. Garrett, you're going to have the blueberry excitement.
I hate blueberry.
You know what? I'll take the blueberry excitement then.
Okay.
Garrett, you're going to have green apple flavored.
I'm cool with green apple. I like green apple.
Lemonade. People are going to drink it and say it actually tastes like apple juice, but you know better. Lemonade. And Alex over there is going to have peach cobbler lemonade.
Peach cobbler.
It's, you know.
They have that in liquid form?
I guess. Damn.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's very unique. And we
tastes
never.
A little chalky.
And we just never change our flavors. Corey's is only out in the summer because he's only here one, you know, for how long. So.
Like that this season.
Yeah.
Man, I really want some peach cobbler.
I can't get
lemonade. I just
really
picture
the trust in this drink.
I was just gonna say peach, but you need that cobbler in there.
All right.
You know, when you drink it, you need shit's gonna be floating around in there.
Marvin, the next shirt you make literally has to be these
cans. Peach cobbler.
Yes.
Peach, you know what, Alex? Remind me about that, and that's gonna happen. But
you make lemonade that's blue, lemonade that's green, next to peach cobbler.
Don't let this joke die after I hit stop. Remind me, and I'm gonna put these together because that's a good idea.
When life gives you lemons, make peach cobbler.
It's gonna be just chunks floating around in there.
Chunks, oh god, dude.
I'm gonna say with pulp.
Oof, and milk.
I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, at Wednesday Comics on Twitter, find us on there. At Garot2188, at the AP Keaton. Let Alex know what your favorite New 52 book is. Obviously, you know, there were some that he missed. He's going back in to read. But let him know what's good back then. Now, obviously, we know about the Batman. We know he got Batman, right? They know about Wayne Tower blowing up. That happened. And but there were some there were 52 books that came out. We couldn't get them all. So let Alex know which one was your favorite. So for Wednesday Comics, my name's Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, enjoy your Mother's Day and keep turning those pages.